Good morning, Auroville. This is Abhijit with you again on the fourth episode of my series, Exploring Education in Arts, Animation, and Filmmaking, coming to you live from Auroville Radio. Today, I'm going to explore another topic in arts, and I will answer the age-old question of how do I learn to draw from scratch? To answer this question, I'm going to explore 10 tips on how to draw for beginners. It's quite a bit of information, so I'm going to spread it over more than one episode. Today, we'll explore a few tips and then continue in our next episode of Arts. So as I said, today we are exploring a very common question. How do I learn to draw from scratch? Drawing ability can be successfully developed through learning and practice. Well, all of us are born with the skill of drawing, but it does not depend on innate talent alone. If you want to learn to draw, but don't know how to get started, let me give you some useful tips on how to draw for beginners. As we explored in our first session, drawing is one of the oldest activities of humankind, a form of communication by which we can communicate our thoughts, emotions, and impressions. Drawing is the foundation of many other visual arts, including painting, architecture, and sculpture. In addition, drawing is considered an art in itself, equivalent to the others. So how do I learn to draw from scratch? To learn to draw from scratch as a beginner, you must first become familiar with the basics of drawing, on which you can build further. These include good hand-eye coordination, which develops with practice, mastering perspective and tonal rendering, which is essential for depicting three-dimensional reality on a flat drawing sheet, knowledge of the effects of light and shadow, correct use of materials and techniques, and last but not the least, proper use of measurement techniques and determination of proportions. That was a mouthful, but believe me, these are pretty much the very first things that you have to learn to do. Once you are familiar with the basics, you will need perseverance and a lot of practice to develop your drawing skills well. The more you draw, the more precise and faster you will be. Learning the basics of drawing is crucial, whether you want to work with traditional materials and techniques or digital tools. The beneficial effects of drawing have a positive impact on our quality of life, whether it's just a creative hobby or a source of income. Can anyone really learn to draw? This is another question that has been asked quite often. The answer is yes. Drawing skills can be learned and taught like any other skill we have, such as writing or speaking. And I'm sure most of the people get around to doing that. Some people are born with good abilities, but that alone is not enough. Through learning and a lot of practice, you can develop your drawing skills. Even the greatest masters gained their knowledge through learning and much practice. Michelangelo, one of the greatest artists of all time, said of his skills, and I'm quoting, "If people knew how hard I worked to get my mastery, it wouldn't seem so wonderful at all." End of quote. Well, this brings us to the first tip that I'm going to explore today. What drawing equipment do you need? The minimum equipment you need to start drawing is some paper, a smooth hard drawing surface, also known as a drawing board, an HB wooden graphite pencil, a pencil sharpener, you can also use a scalpel or knife, and a soft eraser. So let's explore each one of them specifically. The drawing board. The drawing board is a wooden plank to which the drawing sheet is attached. You can also make the drawing board yourself from wood, masonite, or chipboard in about A2 size. It is important that the drawing board has a smooth surface. One would attach the drawing sheet to it with binder clips or masking tape. You would need to prop it up, maybe on a table, or you can use an art bench or an easel if you have one. Drawing paper. You can use cheaper A4 print paper for sketches and exercises. For larger drawing projects, thicker paper from 100 GSM to 130 GSM is best. Medium rough paper is recommended for graphite or color pencil drawings. Ink drawings require a smooth paper surface. Paper with a rough surface is best for charcoal or pastel. Drawing materials. Well, these are the ones you're going to use to draw. At the beginning of the learning process, it is definitely recommended to use a wooden graphite pencil. HB, B or 2B hardness is best. Charcoal is also a good medium for beginners. You can then work with other drawing tools such as color pencils, dry and oil pastels, or ink and pen. Drawings made with charcoal and pastel tend to smear, so it is recommended to protect them. Fixing sprays is best suited for this. Eraser. Kneaded eraser is definitely a good solution, as it does not damage the paper. There is no residue left, and we can knead it into different shapes according to our requirement. The simple white soft rubber eraser is also acceptable. Pencil sharpener or scalpel and a block of sandpaper. One needs to make sure one's pencil is always sharpened properly. Tip number 2. How to start drawing as a beginner? I recommend that you start learning with larger drawings. This is how you can practice the correct hand posture to hold the pencil, that is, under the thumb rather than over it, and movements in the best way. Larger drawings make it easier to draw details and they are easier to fix. Also, for larger drawings, it is appropriate to set your drawing board to a vertical position and stand or sit in front of it. One must also not squeeze the pencil very hard. You will get better results if you hold it loose. Do not just move your wrist while drawing, but your whole arm. When making smaller drawings, you can use the usual pencil grip used for writing. To do this, keep the board at a small angle of 20 to 30 degrees. Tip number 3. What are the exercises to improve hand and eye coordination? Well, the first one is learn how to draw straight lines. For this, we attach a drawing paper of at least A3 size to the drawing board and set it to an approximately vertical position. With loose movements, draw first horizontal, then vertical, and finally diagonal lines until you can draw straight lines. Then practice drawing parallel lines at equal distances from each other, horizontally, vertically, and diagonally. When drawing lines, move your whole arm, not just your wrist, and try to pivot from your shoulder. From what I have seen in beginner students, it takes a little getting used to before they are comfortably drawing like this. Guide the pencil with even pressure on the paper so that the lines are of uniform thickness and draw each line in a single motion. Draw plain geometric shapes. Once you have learned how to draw lines, you can move on to practicing plain geometric shapes such as squares, triangles, circles, and ellipses. It takes a lot of practice to draw a nice circle or ellipse, so don't lose your courage if they are not perfect at the beginning. It is best to draw the correction by drawing the corrected line before erasing the faulty one. Otherwise, there is a possibility of repeating the fault. Tip number 4. What is perspective drawing? When drawing, we display a three-dimensional space on two-dimensional paper, which is not an easy task. To do this, we need to know the rules of perspective drawing. The geometric construction of perspective is a complex process, so we use it in a simplified form for freehand drawing. Perspective drawing can be practiced by drawing basic geometric solids, starting with the cube. The cube is the simplest geometric body, so it is best suited for understanding perspective. The elements of perspective drawing are as follows. The horizon line, that is the level at which Earth meets the sky. The vanishing point on the horizon. Orthogonal lines converging at the vanishing point. And transverse lines, which may be horizontal or vertical, and always parallel or perpendicular to the horizon line. The vanishing point and there may be more than one, may not always be defined to be within the drawing. It is sometimes located outside the boundaries of the drawing sheet. The object to be drawn can be viewed at eye level, from below, or from above, and that decides where you place your horizon. There are several types of perspective. One-point perspective. We use one-point perspective to depict objects that are viewed exactly from the front. In this case, orthogonal lines merge at one vanishing point on the horizon. The depth of the objects is shortened, but the height and width do not change. To draw the object from a one-point perspective, the first step is to draw the horizon line and determine the vanishing point. Then we draw the front face of the cube, followed by drawing orthogonal lines from its vertices, also known as corners, to the vanishing point. Finally, we draw the other faces of the cube so that the edges coincide with the orthogonal lines. Two-point perspective. From a two-point perspective, we can draw objects that have two sides visible. In this case, we define two vanishing points on the horizon. The depth of the objects is shortened in this case as well. To draw a cube from a two-point perspective, first we define the horizon line and then the two vanishing points. In some cases, one or both of the vanishing points may be outside the drawing sheet. We draw the edge of the cube pointing towards us and then draw lines from its vertices to the vanishing points. This is followed by drawing the two adjacent faces of the cube and also connecting the newly defined vertices to the vanishing points. Finally, we draw the other faces of the cube. Three-point perspective. In a three-point perspective, we draw objects that are very tall or very deep, such as a tall building or a cityscape seen from the above. In this case, in addition to the two vanishing points on the horizon line, a third is also determined. The third vanishing point is on the side of the horizon line closer to us. One can't always define the vanishing points inside the drawing. Sometimes they are outside of it because they are further away. Drawing a circle in perspectives. When we draw a circle in perspective, an ellipse is created. We can accurately represent a circle in perspective by drawing a square into which the circle can be inscribed. For this, we draw the diagonals of the square and the midpoints of the sides of the square. Then, we draw the ellipse in the square shown in perspective. Aerial, also known as atmospheric perspective. The further an object is from the viewer, the less clear it appears, and the lighter its tones and colors are, due to the atmosphere, until it eventually gradually blends into the background. This way we can create the effect of objects receding into the distance. Therefore, aerial perspective is a way of realistically representing three-dimensional space on a two-dimensional surface. Details of more distant objects are not drawn in as much detail as those of nearby objects. The closer the object is to us, the sharper its lines are, and we draw it in more detail. Its tones and colors are also vivid. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of this episode. I'll be exploring more drawing tips in my next episode on arts. Have a good day.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.